Hello everyone and welcome back to The Stage Place, more precisely episode 4 of series 3 of this podcast. If you're new to The Stage Place, my name is Elliot Shepherd. I am a freelance stage manager and here on The Stage Place we talk to those who work behind the scenes in theatre to find out how they got into theatre and about their career choices. And today on episode 4 we are joined by Sinead Smith, who is a wardrobe dresser, most notably at Phantom of the Opera. I was really delighted to be talking to Sinead recently, where she is currently in lockdown in Ireland, and it's a really lovely chat, so I really hope that you enjoy this episode. So without further ado, here is the interview with Sinead Smith. Hello Sinead, welcome to The Stage Place.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. We're obviously going to be talking about your role as a costume dresser later in this episode, as you've worked on shows such as Phantom of the Opera and Mary Poppins. But firstly, what I wanted to do is take a step back and ask you what a younger Sinead was like. We ask all the guests who ever come on The Stage Place how they got into theatre. For you, Sinead, being based in Ireland, what was that like growing up and how did you get into theatre?
So I wasn't into theatre at all as a child. I'd never been once. It was only when I was in school and, you know, when you ask like a 16, 17 year old like what you want to do with your life, I had no clue. And I remember going to my guidance counsellor and just being like, I have no idea what I want to do with my life. And we were just looking at things that I was good at. I was good at art. And she was just like, oh, why don't you get into, you know, doing something with art? And she spoke to my art teacher. My art teacher was like, yeah, you'd be really good at doing this, this and that. So yeah, it's kind of how it started then. I was just like, started looking into what I could do with designing and art and yeah.
And so when you were doing that then, and you had the art and you had the design, was there any influences within the artistic world, whether or not, you know, you're not talking about theatre, but we're talking about like TV and film. Was there any trajectory after school with art, or was it kind of just you were doing this at the moment because everybody thought that you would be good at it at the time?
Yeah, so we started talking and they were like, right, well, you need to do an art portfolio because you just have to. And so I knew that that was the first step. So I didn't really think about what was going to come after that. I was like, right, I need to get into an art portfolio course. And I did. So I did that. And then while I was there at that course, that's when I started looking into fashion design and costume design. And I actually wanted to do fashion design. And I didn't get it in that year. So then I went on to do another course, which is kind of like a further education course in fashion design. And that was a portfolio course as well. So that was in Diffey in Ireland. Yeah, it was kind of when I started designing and I started sewing. And my teacher at the time, she was just like, your drawings are more costume-like. And I was like, oh yeah, I suppose it kind of is. And then I was looking at the costume design, which was designed for stage and screen in Dublin.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know, maybe this is what I should do. And I actually got in with flying colours. I think there's only 10 spaces in Ireland and I got in. So I was like, okay, well, obviously this is meant to be. So then I went on to do costume design in Dublin, design for stage and screen in Dunleary and IDT. And yeah, it was 4 incredibly intense years of my life.
Yeah.
Very, very intense. But even when I was at college, it was just film. That's what I wanted to do. Yeah, we did do some theatre stuff and I did do some costumes that I was like, oh, this would go on to theatre or whatever. But I still was like, no, film is my thing. And yeah, when I left college then, I went straight into film. I just never even thought about theatre. And yeah, I was doing days here and there. And then I got a message from one of my old tutors saying that the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre in Dublin, they were looking for dressers. And she was like, you'd be really good at it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I've never done it before. And she was like, yeah, sure, I think they're doing something over Christmas. And my friend who I went to college with, he said, oh, I'm gonna do it, why don't you do it? And it was just to fill up the gap because we had no work at the minute. And that was Mary Poppins, and that was my first ever show. I didn't really know what to expect, but I remember walking in. I didn't think you were allowed to talk to the cast members, so when I met my girls, I just was like, I put my head down.
Oh,
and
they
must have been like, hi. I was just like, I didn't know, I was doing my thing. But oh, just I fell in love with it. Like, I just remember that Christmas and I got on so well, the girls, because I was a female ensemble dresser. We had so much fun, and it's just like the atmosphere, like everybody was having fun, and it was such a laugh. And it was kind of when I was thinking, oh my god, like this could be something. Yeah. I mean, I was still working in film, like that kind of went on then. I think I went on then to do Jersey Boys, and then every time there was a break, I went back to then doing film, and then I went on to do Billy Elliot. And I think Billy Elliot then for me was like, okay, do you know what? I really love this. Like, I loved it more than film then.
Right, yeah. So that's when you cemented your mind into possibly going straight into theatre and maybe dropping film.
Right, yeah, that's... I was just like... Yeah. So in Ireland, like, they tour in Ireland and they'd only be there for 6 weeks, sometimes 1 week, sometimes 2 weeks, and sometimes, you know, you don't get a job for another 6 months. So I was like, oh, like, I really want to start making money. And that's when I started looking into moving to London. If I was going to do it, I had to go to London. I had to go to the West End.
Yes,
I couldn't be just going, doing work for 6 weeks and then not getting another work then for like 3 months. It took me about a year and a half to move to London, but I did it after loads of amazing shows and the Bord Gáis Theatre. I went to London 6 months before I moved. I went to see Phantom.
Okay.
And I didn't know what to watch, and I just thought, oh, I'll just go see Phantom. Yeah. I didn't even know the story. I didn't know anything. And I was right up the back. Couldn't see anything. Could only see half the stage. But I just remember watching it and being like, just the costumes were to die for. I just feel like, because I love, the period costumes for me just... I remember the set. I was like, oh my god, this is like so stunning. I had no clue what was going on. But I was just like, this is so stunning to look at. And then I remember like a lot of people were like, oh, what shows would you recommend to go see if I went to London? And I was like, oh, Phantom of the Opera, definitely amazing.
Yeah.
And then, when I set the date to move to London, I just threw my CV into Phantom. Didn't expect to hear back at all. I just thought, okay, I'm just going to get the ball rolling, see how it goes. I didn't apply for anything else. Phantom was the first place. And then 3 weeks later, I had heard back and they were like, do you want an interview? And I was like, yes. I think I booked a flight like that Friday and I was there Monday. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. They were like, right, you've got the job. You start in 3 weeks. And I was like, okay, I guess I have to move over next week then. Flew back to Ireland and I moved to London. And that's how it all began for me.
And let's just quickly chat about, obviously, like you were saying, you were in film before you went into theatre. What would you say are the two main costume differences between film and between theatre? Because obviously, like, on the top of my head, I could just think of, like, in film, you've got a lot of close-up shots. You know, you've got a lot of shots that probably has to be quite meticulous and all this and all that. And then with theatre, it very much is seen by a large audience. It's not usually seen, you know, by two people sat in front of a screen watching this film or TV program going out. Like, for you, what were the main differences that you were looking at, especially through your degree as well, those 4 years? What were the main differences that you saw between film and between theatre?
So when I was working on film, I felt like everything had to be perfect, 150%, because the camera is right in. So if you were sewing something, you know, you could just whip it up and like it could be, the sewing could be just off a little bit and you'd be like, oh, that's fine. But it wouldn't be, because the camera can like zoom right into that and you could just see that. So everything in film has to be perfect. Whereas in theatre, I could sew something and it mightn't be the best, but I mean, nobody can see it from way back. So, and there could be like a little rip or a tear, or, you know, or like the costume could be a little bit rough and theatre, but you get away with it because people aren't like right up.
Exactly.
But in film, it just needs to be perfect in film. And like, you have like those breaks every couple of seconds just to go in, make sure everyone's still looking amazing, and with your lint roller, and everything has to be perfect. It just takes the pressure off as well, like working in theatre. But yeah, that's what I would say is the difference.
And obviously, so you were just talking about then, you know, you handed in your CV, you went back to Ireland on the Friday, moved on the Monday, you were going to be starting in 3 weeks. And we should say that you are the dresser for Christine, so the female lead in Phantom of the Opera. When you first started out and you got that job offer to start in 3 weeks, where were you at that level when you came into Phantom of the Opera? Were you straight on as Christine's dresser, or did you start with the ensemble and then move up? Like, what was the trajectory of how you were working at the Phantom?
Yeah, like, they brought me on as Carlotta dresser, so I was pretty happy with that. I actually wouldn't care what it was. I was just so delighted that I got this amazing show. And yeah, so I started on the day and I was meant to be the Carlotta dresser, and the Christine dresser that day had handed in her notice. And so they were like, right, well, we want you to learn 4 principal plots just for emergencies in case anyone has to go off. So you're going to learn the Christine plot, Carlotta plot, Rael and Phantom. And I was like, yeah, okay. Like, because I was so used to like learning plots the whole time. So I was just like, yeah, fine, whatever. So yeah, they put me on the Christine plot first. And I was like so nervous because I didn't really know the show that well. I didn't know the music. And the Christine plot has a lot of quick changes.
I can bet. She's pretty much on all the time, is she not?
She's on stage all the time. Yeah. And yeah. Her costumes are amazing. I remember at the time I was just like, oh God, this is a little rough, throwing me in the deep end, putting me on the leading lady, but look, that's fine. And then I went on to the Carlotta plot and I really like tried to absorb everything because I was like, this is going to be my plot. And yeah. Halfway through while I was learning that, they were like, oh, we want you to dress the alternate Christine. And I was like, oh, okay. And she was like, yeah, it's just because we think we're going to put you on that plot now. And I was like, what? I was like, are you sure? And she was like, yeah, you're just really good at the quick changes. So yeah, we're going to put you on that. And she was like, but I want you to learn the other principal plots just in case. So I was just like, all right. I was like, okay. I felt a little bit of pressure then because I was like, oh God. But that's how I became the Christine dresser then.
Hi everyone, my name is Kelly Horn. I'm a freelance movement director and movement and dance teacher, and I have created my own brand, Kelly Horn Movement. Kelly Horn Movement provides movement classes and workshops, and I currently have weekly online movement classes every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. These classes explore something new and different each week and focus on different ranges of movement, from mindful movement to body conditioning, even to contemporary dance. I wanted to create these classes to pass on and share my joy and passion of movement and offer something that not only boosts creativity, imagination, exploring different ways of moving and allowing people to connect to their bodies, but also promotes physical and mental well-being for performers, creatives and even people outside of the arts. If you would like to join my weekly classes or even just receive updates about future classes and workshops, head to my website kellyhornmovement.com. You can also follow me on Instagram. My handle is @KellyHornMovement, and I'm also on Twitter @KellyHornMove. Thank you so much to The Stagey Place for all of the support, and enjoy the rest of the episode, everyone. Bye.
And, you know, we were saying before about when you were watching the show and you constantly recommended people to watch the show if they ever came to London to see stuff. I talk about, like, the masquerade scene as being quite a pivotal moment in the musical and being a moment that, whenever I talk about musical theatre, is one that I remember so vividly. And even when you listen to the soundtrack, like, you just think about the costumes during that scene. And, you know, I know that, you know, you've got the Phantom's costume that appears, you know, halfway through, three-quarters the way through that song, but then Christine has such iconic dresses that I'm sure young girls in the audience probably watched Phantom of the Opera and be mesmerized by these costumes. So for you, being in the dressing room with any lead or any alternate who are playing Christine, and to be right there with these costumes, having recommended them, you know, years before, months before, to so many people, how does that feel to actually be in the presence of such gorgeous costumes?
Yeah, no, it is a lot of pressure. It's really something I struggled with when I first started, because I was like, all eyes are on Christine Daae. I just felt like I just couldn't mess up. I had to get it right, and there was no room to mess up at all. It took me a while to kind of get used to it. It's just her costumes are the most expensive costumes in the West End. And like, you have to treat them like that, because, like, you know, some of them are like antique, like lace, and she gets like thrown around on stage, and she has a white wedding dress that gets dirty all the time. So you really need to be on the ball, I think. Yeah. And then actually for, I think it was like 3 or 4 months, I had to do the maintenance and the costumes and for Christine, which was huge for me, because then I got to use my sewing skills. So then that, it was even more pressure, because not only was I looking after her, dressing her, I was looking after her costumes. So if there was any rips or tears, I would mend them. And yeah, on a Tuesday, I would go in and I would have to go through all of the Christines. So let's say there was like the leading lady and alternate was on. I'd go through their costumes with like a magnifying glass. I'd literally turn them upside down. I would literally have to go through everything like a fine tooth comb. And if there was a rip, I'd have to mend it. Or if there was a little bead missing, I'd mend it. Buttons. And you wouldn't even believe, like with the wedding dress, like she has buttons all the way down. You probably wouldn't even notice that. But if one is dirty and you have to change it, you have to change them all then, because one would look really, really bright and then the rest would be really dirty. But yeah, it was quite a lot of pressure, but do you know what? I loved it. Like,
yes. You're doing what you love as well. Like, that's the thing. And you're in a show that you absolutely love being involved in. So you kind of do that. That was going to move on to what I was going to ask anyway, about like the day-to-day workings of you as a dresser. What is that like? What time are you usually in the theatre? What's your day-to-day plan for you as a dresser on Phantom?
So I would go in normally and straight away, because I'm always with the costumes. I knew the costumes inside and out. So it's so weird because I just go in and I would just go through the costumes. I would check their hooks and bars straight away because I've seen some crazy videos on like some of the Christine costumes falling off them and stuff. When I was researching the show before I started, I was like, that's never going to happen on my watch.
Yeah.
So it just became routine. Every day I'd go in and I'd be chatting to whoever it is, and I would be messing around with their hooks and eyes, their Velcro, just making sure that everything was okay for the show. And then I would make sure their shoes, I'd go through their shoes and make sure that their soles were all right. It's so normal to me. It's hard to like think about it.
Yeah.
And then on a Tuesday, then I would definitely go through all of her negligee. It used to get so bloody dirty. It used to upset me. No. We'd have to clean it. I'd have to spot clean it every Tuesday. And her negligee shoes, which are white, they would be black. Ooh. And they would have to be scrubbed. Yeah, it becomes your baby. What else? God, her Don Juan dress, which is the orangey dress, is the most expensive dress. You wouldn't believe it, but it's the silk. It's the most expensive dress.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to look after that. Like, constantly looking for any little rips or tears, because you need to be on the ball, because if you see a little rip, like a month down the line, that could be a huge rip. So you're constant, and then I'd look at it and I go, right, I'm going to go to wardrobe now. And they would be like, okay, do this, this, and this. I was constantly keeping them in the loop. It's not as if I just took over and not tell them anything. But I was constantly like, right, this is what's happening. And things would get dry cleaned a lot. They got some abuse, those costumes. So it was, they had to be looked after so well. And I tried my best. I definitely did.
And when you're talking about these really expensive costumes, when you've taken it off the performer in the show, how delicately do you have to really actually use the maintenance on them, because they are so expensive? Like, what is the maintenance like for them compared to maybe some of the other dresses?
I'm laughing because like there's because like if I was ever teaching someone the plot, there is a way to throw things, there's a way of taking it off as well. And if I see them do, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have to fix that later. There's actually like, it's so weird, you just get so used to it. There is ways of like, because she's got such really, really, really quick changes, like her wedding dress change at the end is like, I think I could do it in 10 seconds, but I think it's about 15 seconds you have. There was just ways of me throwing it. It's weird, yeah. Like, and there's a way.
We can't really describe it on an audio podcast.
I know. I'm like, I'm trying to do it in my head here. I'm like, right, what did I do? Because it just comes so normal. But I'd always have like a cloth on the floor to make sure that you never know what's on the floor and it's so dark, so none of her costumes would get dirty. I think some other dresses had maintenance calls with their costumes, just because it was so hard to keep up with the hooks and eyes. We all had the same kind of responsibility, but I think just for me, it's just like the Christines are on nearly for the entire show. And her just costumes were just getting ripped left, right and centre. So I had to be like on the ball. And because I kind of looked after it, I would sew it myself. But some of the dresses would look after it themselves, or they would send it up to wardrobe. And like their notes every night would be huge.
Oh, wow.
With all rips, tears and alterations that they needed to do. And they would, like wardrobe would go around and make sure that everything looked 100%, and they would watch the show some nights. They'd go out and just make sure everything's looking okay.
Yeah.
They take notes, and I suppose it would to be head of wardrobe on Phantom must be really difficult, and Keris is amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody, it was tough all round, definitely, not just for the Christine, but for everyone. Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about there, at the end of every night, there's a lot of notes and stuff. If you're doing a two-show day, and you've got a matinee in an evening, how does that compare? Because there must be, have there ever been times in a matinee where something, you know, a dress, whether or not it's a Christine dress or another dress that you've done earlier on with like the ensembles, for example, and it's just been really battered and bruised. Is there time to get that up for the evening? Is there any, you know, spares that you can use? How does that work if something needs a lot of time to be fixed in time for an evening show on a matinee day?
Yeah, no. So the wardrobe assistants, they would come in early and they would try and get, I suppose they would prioritise what really needs to be done and what could like go a show without. But they would do that all morning. But
yeah.
For the Christine costumes, yeah, they got ripped so many times in a matinee. And as soon as it would happen, I would do whatever I needed to do dressing-wise. And I would run upstairs and be like, this needs to be done. So I tried to give them as much time as possible. Like, the frill on the negligee dress always got ripped.
Yeah.
Now, I couldn't do that because I actually have to dress. So I would have to go upstairs and be like, can this be done? And they would try then and get that done. And sometimes I'd have to stay in their lunch break and do it. Like, especially the Don Juan as well used to get ripped. They would have to stay in. You get so used to like things ripping the whole time. Then when they get like new costumes, I'm like, can I keep this negligee as a spare? And they're like, do you really need it? And I'm like, well, you never know. And do you know what? Yeah, I used it so many times. I had an emergency negligee and just you use it. You wouldn't even believe. Like, sometimes she'd come in, she'd have makeup all over it. And I'm like, well, that can't go on for the next show. So I'm going to put the emergency costume on. And I would just try and keep everything good all the time for emergencies.
I'm just going to jump in here. Hi, everyone. I'm Robin from High Top Design, and you're probably wondering who I am. Well, I'm a graphic designer with over 10 years' experience in corporate communications. I've recently been working with Elliot on the new logo for the Stage of Place, and I'm the one responsible for the cartoon versions of his guests. But why am I interrupting the interview? I just wanted to let you guys know that as well as podcast artwork, I can help with lots of other things. Design projects, CVs, photo restorations, websites, magazines, posters, programs, anything like that, just give me a shout. Honestly, no job is too big or too small, and I will work with you to make sure the end result looks awesome. Don't need anything designed? No worries at all. I know you love theatre as you're listening to this podcast, so you'll probably like my range of musical theatre prints and badges. I also have a cute range of mushroom pride pins, or I can make you and your family and friends into cartoon versions like the guests of this show. You can find all this and much more on my website, hightop.design, or give me a like and a follow on Instagram and Facebook. I'm hightopdesign on those as well. Anyway, thanks guys. I will now let you get back to the show.
And obviously, you know, we can't go without this episode without talking about Phantom at the moment and the position that it's in. Obviously, for you, when you heard the news about Phantom not returning, you know, there was quite a lot on social media about Phantom not returning at all and then Phantom returning in some capacity. And I think there was a bit of mixed signals about what was going on with the show. For you, how did you find out and where were you at the time when you found out that it was coming back, it wasn't coming back?
So, oh God, you know, I remember when the pandemic started, we were all like, God, we are just so lucky to be in this show because it's run for nearly 35 years. If anything, we will be fine. And everyone was like, oh, thank God we're in this show, you know. So we had a Zoom call coming up and I was a little bit nervous about it. I almost had a gut feeling. But I remember all my friends were like, don't worry, it's Mary Poppins and Les Mis, they got the same as well. And we're just been told that we're going back in March.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, grand, thank God.
Yes.
Like, and so when we went on that Zoom call, like when we all started logging in, everyone's faces were popping up and it was so nice because we hadn't seen each other in so long and everyone was so happy to see each other. And we're all like, hi, and like, how's your summer? I haven't seen you. What have you been doing? And then they came on and they instantly was like, guys, this is not good news. Like, they really nipped it in the bud. They were just straight in and was just like, yeah, we're going to close Phantom. And it was just, so, everyone was so shocked. Like,
was it like a deafening silence?
Oh, yeah. It was awful. I mean, I think everyone turned their camera off because we were just so devastated. Like, it was, we couldn't believe it. And everybody, I mean, some people were angry, a lot of people were upset, but it's just, you know.
And rightly so as well. I think, you know, we should say this, like, you know, I know we don't want to get into politics, so we don't want to get into the money side of things on this podcast, but, you know, there is definitely a lot that could be done to, you know, help everybody out in that production. So I do feel like you're just saying there with everybody on, and you know, if everybody was turning their videos off, because you know, it's your life, like it's your livelihood, like you know you live for being at Phantom, and you've had these amazing memories, just to be told on this Zoom call that actually everything wasn't going to be okay again. Like, you know, it's rightly so that everybody should be having these emotions during this call.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, it was my dream job. And I was, like, you know, so grateful for it every day. I didn't take it for granted. I loved my job and I knew how lucky I was. So I was devastated for me. But then when I thought about the people that have been there for 15, 20, 30 years, like, that's not a job to them anymore. Yeah. It's their life, you know. And it's just the sad part about it is we walked in there on Saturday. And we did our show and we walked out and we never returned and we had no clue and we never even got to say goodbye. And I think that was the hard thing for everyone. It's just, and you know what, we were such like a family. Like, I know we say Phantom family, but we all just got on so well. And it was, oh my God, I can't even describe to you how it was just, it was really an awful time for everyone. And I felt so sorry for the people who had worked there for 20 years because it's, it's their life, and it was awful.
Let's go back to like the good times. what was like your like favorite memory of working on the production?
Oh God, we just had so much fun every day. Yes, we were so professional, but I got on really well with my Christines.
Brilliant.
Like, they became like my best friends, and so she's got quite an isolated plot, and so did I. So I just, you know, I spent all my time with the Christines and just had so much fun. Just even like with the quick changes, we like, I got so used to doing the quick changes, I could do it literally with my eyes closed. Like sometimes I would like challenge myself and be like, right, can you do it with your eyes closed? And I could. But like, we used to just have fun all the time and like still be professional, of course. That was for me the part that I missed the most. And everyone just got on. Everyone is always having the crack and everyone just got on with each other and like in between cues and always having a laugh. That's my memory of it, is just the friendships I've made there. I know I will have for life because
there's
amazing people.
It's just a huge family feel, isn't it? I feel like, you know, I get that when I'm doing fringe shows, you know, or doing Christmas shows, pantos, you know, a couple of weeks, you know, a couple of months. Like, there's such a feel of camaraderie for what we do. We don't do theatre for the money. We do theatre for the experience and, you know, for that idea that we're not sitting in an office, you know, at a computer or whatever. Like, you know, we're up and we're having fun every single day. And I think, you know, like you've just said there, you know, just having such a laugh with everybody on board. Like, it's such an amazing career and industry that we've got ourselves into, even though, like, you know, we haven't been treated very well over the pandemic. You know, there's definitely some really good memories that we've got from it. So Sinead, for anybody who's listening to this podcast and thinking about maybe going into costume, what would you say your main advice would be for those sorts of people who are maybe thinking that this may be the pathway in the industry that they want to take?
So what I would suggest is, work experience is just so valuable. If anybody is thinking about it, I would say go for it, because it's absolutely amazing industry to get into. But definitely try and get some work experience just to see, because you just don't know whether you're going to like it or not. And, you know, I don't say like work for free, but if you can, you know, it's quite hard to get work experience in the West End. But if there's a local theatre near you, go in and see if you can just, you know, sit in and like shadow, see what's going on, just to even get a taste for it. And just even if you could go up to the workroom and costume and do a little sewing, and just to see the day to day. That is so valuable, and it's probably one of the first things that they will look for is work experience. So I would definitely say try and look into whatever theatres are around you and work experience is so good. And also, just apply for whatever you can, because even getting an interview is great experience as well.
Amazing.
It's yes, all like, absolutely. Yeah, like, and then like they'll keep your name and your CV on file, and you never know, like 6 months down the line, they might need somebody and you might pop up. So it's I think like, yeah, it's definitely important. I would definitely say if you go to college and you're sewing, keep up sewing, because that's something that yes. I didn't. Yeah, you just forget how to sew. That's what I've been doing for this pandemic, because I'm getting back into my sewing. Constantly keep up with your skills, because you never know. You do forget things over time.
Hi, my name is Emily, and I'm the proud owner of Your Little Theatre. Your Little Theatre is your new place to find pre-loved theatre plays at affordable prices. But we don't just stop there. We also match you with some ace small businesses. Kick back and relax with our blind date with a play, where you receive a mystery theatre play for only £5. Or treat yourself even more and get any of our mystery boxes, which all include at least one theatre play or musical theatre score, plus some trinkets from our ace partners of small businesses, who include Hello You Handmade Co., Little Box Studios, Lucky Pup, Baking Bice Boobs, Luna and the Elephant, Geek Sheet Gifts, A Hella Load of Quirky, Tom Kofed, Totalist Graphics, The Harmony Hub, and Stagey Prints, plus so many more. Thank you so much, Stagey Place, for giving us this opportunity. And remember to use code Stagey Place for 10% off on our website, www.yourlittletheatre.com. Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of the podcast.
For you, Sinead, currently in the pandemic at the moment, you're back in Ireland, I'm presuming. What's that been like, being back there over the pandemic? And I'm guessing back home with your family, or around your nearest and dearest?
So yeah, I'm back at home in Ireland. Obviously, I couldn't stay in London. But yeah, I'm back home with my family. I'm here living in my house with my sister and my cat. And you know what? I'm just having a great time. Like, I think that's, everybody is doing that right now, is actually going home and spending time with their family, with my friends. And I'm really enjoying it. It's just like, just trying to chill out and like not get too bogged down with, you know, what's going on in the outside world. But it's, yeah, I'm at home and I'm enjoying it. And because I know one day, hopefully I'll be back in London and back to the back to the crazy schedule.
Yeah. Well, Sinead, thank you so much for coming onto the Stage Place. I've obviously got one final question for you. It's a question that I ask all the guests that come onto the series, and it's the title of this podcast. And that is, whereabouts is your Stagey Place? Now, obviously, we've spoken a lot about Phantom today, so I feel like this may be a bit of a silly question to be asking you. But you know, this could be, you know, your favourite theatre in Ireland. Or, you know, this could be a place in London. You know, we could be talking about Phantom. Who knows? Whereabouts is your Stagey Place, where you like to think is theatre for you?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, I'm always going to say, like, it's going to be Her Majesty's Theatre for me, because it's just where I just fell in love with my job. It wasn't a job, you know, it was my dream, and still is, you know.
Yes.
No, look, the Borgosh NG Theatre still has a huge place in my heart, because it's where I got into it, really. So yeah, like, I guess that would be, but yeah, Phantom of the Opera, Her Majesty's Theatre, yeah, it's my Stagey Place for sure.
Amazing. Well, Sinead Smith, thank you so much for coming on to the Stagey Place today. It's been really amazing. You know, this is the first time that we've ever really spoken to somebody in wardrobe or in costume, and I really just think it opens up the ideas for more people listening to this podcast, thinking about maybe what they want to do in the industry, especially for people who have come to this podcast to figure out their next pathway. So thank you so much for joining me today. I've got my fingers crossed that you'll be back in London soon. Hopefully. And yeah, thank you so much for taking your time today to chat with me.
Thank you. No, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
And there we go. That was episode 4 of series 3 of The Stagey Place with today's guest, Sinead Smith, who is a wardrobe dresser. And I'd love to thank Sinead so much once again for coming onto the Stagey Place and hopefully inspiring a new generation of costume makers and wardrobe dressers. Now do make sure to join us this Friday as we have a very special bonus episode with the creative team behind Musical the Musical, who are doing an online concert streamed all the way around the world this May. And you can find out more about that as well as their musical in the bonus episode, which is out this Friday on the 23rd of April at 5 p.m. Otherwise, join us next Wednesday when we'll be joined by Jake Waby, who is an audio and video producer who has worked on projects such as Alice Fern's Intermissions, as well as the Everybody's Talking About Jamie reopening video, which is absolutely fantastic if you haven't checked it out already. If you're also enjoying what you're listening here on The Stagey Place and want to see more content, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Stagey Place. My name's been Elliot Shepherd. You've been listening to Sinead Smith on episode 4 of series 3. And until next time, I hope you have a lovely week and I look forward to hearing from you soon.